Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship at Emmanuel. Summertime is a great time for growing in our understanding of God's word. We're into the Pentecost season. That's why the stole that I'm wearing and the paraments that you see behind me are green. It's a reminder of the growth that God's word allows us to enjoy. In this earliest 4 weeks of the Pentecost season, we're following a sermon series entitled God's Words Possess God's Power. The messages of God that he provides for us in his word help us to appreciate who he's made us to be. First of all, God's word helped us appreciate the relationship that we have with him. Last weekend, we had Trinity Sunday. We recognize God's word shows us the mysteries of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This week, God's word helps us appreciate the relationship that we have with the world in which we live, especially when we encounter evil in that world. How does God's word motivate us and protect us inside of this world in which we live? We're going to see the story of Jesus driving out a man with many demons and helping us appreciate the power that God's word has for our lives. We'll follow along with the order of service that you hopefully received on your way into the sanctuary. You can also follow along with the screens. It gives us an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. Our service begins with the three verses of the opening hymn, number 871, Rise to Arms with Prayer Employ You. God's richest blessings on our worship tonight.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and our Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to destroy the works of the devil and to protect us poor people against such an evil foe. Uphold us in all affliction by your Holy Spirit, so that we may have peace from such enemies and remain forever blessed. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Each of the three lessons this weekend remind us that the power of God is greater than anything we may face in life. In the first lesson, God calls us to be witnesses of that word so that the truth of his power goes to the ends of the earth. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assembly. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed it to the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there ever be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll join tonight in singing Psalm 66. You can find words and music on page 7 of the service folder. God's words possess God's power, power enough to change the entire world. But how does God go about getting that word into his world? He uses people like you and me. People like an old pastor named Paul and a young pastor named Timothy and Timothy's mom and his grandma. people that served as the witnesses of God's mighty power and the witnesses of God's word in their time and place. The second lesson is from Paul's second letter to Timothy in chapter 1. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel and join in the gospel acclamation on page 9. Chapter 8 and serves as the basis for this weekend's sermon. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus was commanding the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated as we'll join to sing the hymn of the day, number 744, Rise, Shine, You People. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I suppose it is officially the middle of June and the beginning of summer, and that means we're going to have to spend a little time this evening talking about Dad's List. There might be some of you younger folks out there who recognize that Dad's List might refer to the list of things that he'd like you to go buy him tomorrow for Father's Day, and he's probably got one or two stores he'd like you to shop at, either Scheels or Menards or Home Depot. But when I talk about Dad's List, that's not the list that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the list of things that Dad has going on this summer that he needs all those tools from Menards or Home Depot to fix. Maybe you've got a list. I can tell you that I've got a list. Go through in your back of your mind the list of problems and projects that you got to tackle in your house sometime this summer and ask yourself, what is it that finds its way to the top of the list? I have a light switch that needs fixing next to the garbage disposal. I got a towel bar that needs to be remounted into the girls' bathroom up on the second floor, but neither of those projects are on the top of my list. I got to paint my house this summer. If you've got a project that's at the top of your list, the other question that I need to talk about is, what's the tool that you're going to use to make sure that that list gets done? Well, I can remember when I had to paint somebody's house when I was 14 years old, and originally I thought the right tool that I'm going to need to get that job done is either a roller or a paintbrush. But that's not the tool that gets the house painted. This is the tool that gets the house painted. I discovered what it was when I was 14 years old, and I recognized that this thing isn't a pressure washer, and it doesn't have any power that you apply to the back of it other than this power. The job that needs doing is painting the house, and the tool that works every single time is good old-fashioned elbow grease. What's on your list of things that you need to fix, not in your house, but in your life? If you had to write down all the problems and projects that you're dealing with personally this summer, what would be the one thing you'd like to fix, and what would be the tool you'd need to use to make sure it got done? Maybe the thing that you need to fix in your life this summer is stress. And maybe the tool that you figured out to use to get your stress taken care of is a vacation. Well, that's a tool that we like applying. Maybe the problem you're looking to fix in your life this summer is a little bit different. Maybe it's your health that needs some work. And the tool that you're going to use is a little bit of exercise or a diet or at least a new pair of walking shoes. Maybe the problem that you have going on in life this summer is a relationship that needs mending. And maybe you're starting to recognize that the tool that you need to use to get that relationship mended is a conversation that maybe has to happen. And it's kind of the same feeling that I get when I have to chip away all the paint on the side of my house. To apply those tools is simple enough, but sometimes they take an awful lot of work. What about the world in which you live? What's at the top of the list of things that need fixing in our world today? I know it's a dangerous thing to stand in front of a bunch of people and ask them to make their list of things that they think is going on wrong with the world, because if we were to sit down for a while and write all those problems down, we could make a pretty long list. I know that you and I watch enough of the news, we see enough on the TV to know there's a lot going wrong in our world right now, and if I were to ask you what's on the top of your list, maybe it's the same as what's on the top of somebody else's list. I don't like gas prices. I'm not happy with the economy. I don't like that there's shootings at schools in Texas. I don't like that there's a war going on in the Ukraine. Finally, the problem that we're dealing with in the world is a complex one. And if I were to ask you what tool you would use to fix all those problems, maybe you wouldn't really know where to start. Maybe you think the tool you can use to solve all the problems in this messed up world is the vote that you cast in 2022 or 2024. But do you think that's really going to solve all the world's problems? Maybe you think the tool you're going to use to solve the problems in our world is a strongly worded letter to your congressman or an even more strongly worded post to your social media page. But do you think that's really going to solve all the world's problems? Because if you've identified the biggest problem in the world at the top of your list, do you think it's the same problem that God has on the top of his list? Do you really think that God cares about gas prices? Do you think that God is all that interested in elections or in politics? Or is there something else going on in our world that has his attention more focused? From God's perspective, the problem in our world that needs fixing is all the evil and the work of the devil that causes those problems to affect his children here on earth. And if we were going to ask the question, what is the tool that God might use to deal with and protect us from all that evil going on in our world and in our lives and in our homes, what tool would he use? It isn't a paint scraper, and it isn't a social media post. It's the same tool that God has been using now for 2,000 years. It is the Word of God, the story of the gospel. But how can the Word of God that we see written down in a dusty old book really do battle against all the troubles that we find on our lists in life and in our world. You tell me that the story of Jesus can clean up all the mess in the world out there. If that were true, why is the world still so messy? Why hasn't God used his word more effectively to do the job that needs to be done? Does God's word have that kind of power or not? God's words possess God's power. And as we'll see in this story from Luke chapter 8, it's power even enough to address the evils of our world. Go back in time 2,000 years to the other side of the Jordan River from where Jesus usually lived and worked, up in Nazareth and Capernaum in Galilee. There on the far side of the lake, you'd find yourself in small towns and cities in a region that Jesus and his disciples didn't often go to. A place in the world where not a lot of religious people lived, and that was kind of the religious Wild West of Jesus' day. It was referred to as the Gerasenes. Territory that Jesus and his disciples wandered into here in Luke chapter 8. When they got off the boat on the far side of the lake, they recognized that they were encountering people in that part of the world that had been dealing with a problem for quite a long time. And that problem was evil. A young man who had been battling face to face with evil for just about all his life. Listen again how Dr. Luke tells the story. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus was about to command the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. There is no way of sugarcoating what this problem was in the Gerasenes. Satan had somehow gotten his hooks into this young man, and he wasn't interested in letting go. And you ever notice how sometimes when something's going wrong in your neighborhood or in your world or in your life, you got to kind of figure out a way to deal with what you have and kind of just get over it? Well, the people there in his neighborhood had kind of looked evil in the face and recognized what Satan was doing to this young man, and they were kind of at their wits' end. They didn't know what else they could do for him. They had tried to hold him down, but he just tackled them all over again. They tried to chain him up, but he could break the chains with the demonic power that Satan had put into him. And to recognize what evil was doing to this man and what the devil was doing in this man is something that just about takes your breath away. The devil had figured out a way to isolate this person from everyone who cared about him, had driven him off into solitary places where he could go to work in the man's heart and mind to a place that they thought he was irredeemable. And most of all, the devil thought he had gotten this young man into a place so far from God that God couldn't get him back. Hear him shout at the one from Galilee, "Just leave me alone." Look at him look Jesus in the eye and avert his glance. "Please don't have anything to do with me." Evil is the reality that the devil loves nothing more than to destroy people. And he finds all sorts of ways to do that. He uses our own sins and our own fears and our own doubts to metastasize within our own hearts and minds, to drive us to thinking that a God that lives in our life and in our world doesn't care as much for us as he might say he does. He leads us to chase after joy and happiness and relief in places where joy and happiness and relief will never be found, though we think that might be. To the point that he isolates us and he drives us far from the grace of God. The devil loves destroying people That's the biggest problem there is in our world right now. It has nothing to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with people. And if you look out into our world, you might assume that the devil is winning. But he isn't. Because as much as the devil loves destroying people, Jesus loves redeeming people. And look how he does it. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. Here we meet a Savior that has nothing more in his mind than to get to know who this person is so that he might be able to share the story of himself with that person. He looks past the nakedness and the shame. He looks past the fear and the isolation. He looks his own child in the eye and says, "Who are you? And how can I help you?" We then see this interesting episode where Jesus starting having a conversation with all these demons inside of the man. And you might wonder, why does Jesus bother with this conversation with these demons? "Please don't cast us into the abyss," they say. "Send us into some of the pigs on the hillside instead." Why is it that Jesus doesn't just obliterate the evil and destroy the demons so that they don't ever have to walk the face of the earth again? Because for Jesus, destroying the evil is the last thing on his mind. The only thing is mind. Is alleviating the pain of his child. They begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Jesus' mission on earth is not to eradicate all evil. Jesus' mission on earth is to protect you and preserve you from all evil to the ends of the earth. To draw you close to himself and to hold you close to himself so that no matter what you may see in the world or in your life, you see Jesus in that world and in your life. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and to the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man who had the demons, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully dressed and in his right mind. How does God deal with evil in our world? How does he fix all the problems that find their way to the top of people's lists? He uses the gospel story of Jesus to chase out of people's minds the story of isolation and sin. And he fills people's hearts and minds with the story of himself. He removes from us the sting of doubt and fear, and he destroys in us the work of Satan and all of his minions, and he replaces in him and in us the story of life and salvation, the story of forgiveness and peace with a God who loves you and whose love will never be taken away from you. And that's how Jesus changes the world. But you say, it didn't change the world. It just changed this one man's life. Did the rest of the people who knew him, did they take notice? Did Jesus remove their problems just like he removed his problem? It doesn't seem so. At first, those who had seen this miracle told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And when all the people of the region of the Gerasenes returned, they then asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So Jesus got in the boat and left. If the story ended here, you would be right in assuming that the word of Jesus has limits and the power of Jesus doesn't fix all the problems in our world. But the story doesn't end here. Jesus leaves the region But when he does, he leaves something behind. Not his keys, not a paint scraper, but a person who's been filled with the gospel. He sends out into this evil world people who have been filled with the story of the gospel. And what does he tell people like that? What does he tell people like you? What does he tell people like me? As Jesus got into the boat and left, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away and said, "Return home and tell everyone how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. And it worked. In Luke chapter 8, we see Jesus' first visit to this place called the Gerasenes on the far side of the lake. But it wasn't his last visit. Jesus went back there a year later on his journey to Jerusalem, and when he returned the second time, whatever this young man had said must have made an impact, because Luke there records for us that the whole town brought their people out to Jesus to have him healed, and Jesus did so. A whole region of people who knew nothing of the Savior now longed to sit at his feet and learn his story for themselves. God's words possess God's power, even enough to overcome evil. And it just so happens that those are the words that he's given you to share. If there was one thing in the whole world that you could fix, what would it be? Gas prices? Or the economy? Or the fact that there are people in our world that know nothing about the love of Jesus? One of those things you can fix. And you do it using the only tool that gets the job done. When you think about what's going on in your life and what needs to be done in your home, what's at the top of the list? If it's your paint job, get a contractor. If it's your health, get a coach. But if it's doing battle against the devil's tricks of fear and doubt and anguish and sin and overwhelmness and feelings of failure, then you have the tool that you need. The story of a God who sent his son to save you, who sends the powers of evil reeling with a word of his grace and the truth of your forgiveness. So go, return home, and tell everyone you meet all that God has done for you. And then you'll see that God's words possess God's power. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's join to confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. Follow along on the screen or on page 12 of the service folder. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation may be seated for the prayer of the church. Heavenly Father, through the greatness of your power, all things in heaven and earth were created. We thank you for crowning the year with your goodness, for keeping us safe through storm and stress, and for holding our world in your hands through your appointed times and seasons. You have filled the earth with riches and have rewarded our own labors. But above all, we thank you for bringing us salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Great is your name, O God, and marvelous is your mercy. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would make your church come alive with the power of your word and sacraments. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we may serve you with fervent zeal, rejoicing in hope, patient in affliction, and continuing in prayer. Give quietness and confidence to all who may be enduring trial or adversity in body, mind, or spirit, and grant them the rewards of faith and trust in you. Heavenly Father, this weekend we thank you for providing us with earthly fathers. The care they give and the compassion they show are a reflection of your love. Help them in their most important work of bringing up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let your grace and forgiveness always be at the heart of their family leadership. Strengthen them to model for their children a godly life and bless all they do to provide for the needs of their families. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for using us as instruments in your service. We ask you to be with one of our congregation's members, Mrs. Katie Lupke, as she has received a divine call from Fox Valley Lutheran High School. Bless her with the wisdom and maturity she needs to consider where to serve you and your people. Bless all teachers, both here and within our community, with the talents and skills they need for instructing your people. Heavenly Father, we join with members of our church in giving you thanks as they celebrate wedding anniversaries this week. Bill and Beth Furstenau celebrating 12 years of marriage, Lee and Valerie Collar celebrating 17 years of marriage, Wayne and Lori Steingraber celebrating 41 years of marriage, Bill and Paula Hyges and Dave and Mary Lepke both celebrating 45 years of marriage, and Carlton and Anna Begro celebrating 66 years of marriage. You have been these couples' source of strength and spring of faithfulness. As they rely on you for every good thing, we ask that you would continue to go with them as their God and Lord, and preserve their faith and love by your powerful word. For these and all the other things you know we need, we confidently ask in the name of him who gave himself for us that we might live through him, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Service concludes with the prayers and blessing on page 17. Please stand. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this saving gift. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. I think what got me off track was the 7 anniversary couples that we had in the prayer of the church. A lot of names to be grateful for and all of the rich blessings that God has given to them. As you're heading out tonight, please do us the service of not using the North Tower entrance. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there is a hazard way above your head, about 100 feet up in the air. The big storm blew our cross off of its moorings, and it's kind of hanging off the edge of the building. I think it's secure with some cables there, but we don't want anybody walking on the north side of the building. So please go that way when you exit the sanctuary tonight. Secondly, plenty of announcements to keep on your attention as you look into the yellow pages. One of them is that we'll have an installation for our called workers. We have 4 new teachers that will be starting here at Emmanuel. That installation is at the 10:30 service on the 31st. When you heard of another divine call to Miss Katie Lupke to Fox Valley Lutheran High School, her husband Chris is our 6th grade teacher. She currently teaches at Oshkosh Public Schools and has been extended that divine call to teach at FVL. So as she considers that call, keep her in your prayers. Jam in the Sand is an event coming up this Tuesday. It's out at Hatton Park, and if you'd like information about ministry that we do to little people, by all means, take a look at Jam in the Sand. Under Bible classes, that's actually going to begin next week, and it's a misprint for the Proverbs Bible class. What we're actually going through is a course called The Ideal Congregation. How does God gear us and motivate us to all the different kinds of ministry that we do as a church? That'll start next week. Tomorrow we have our quarterly voters meeting in which we will approve our ministry plan. We have some elections as well. So that'll be taking place here in the sanctuary. As you can see, the commons are all moved around a little bit. Those are the announcements for me. One also that I have, I know that when you go past the gas station, sometimes you see the phrase that says, "We don't like our gas prices either." I don't like holding 2 divine calls either, but I'm still working through the one that MLC sent to me. This one has a lot of conversations that I've been having with a lot of different people. So it's something we're still weighing on, and your encouragements are just bearing great fruit in our family. So I want to continue those prayers as we consider that. That's all I have for God's people tonight. God's richest blessings to all of you throughout the week. Thank you.